20 years ago this past spring, Matthew Kenealy marked his 24th birthday by going to the Sudbury Health Unit office and getting tested for HIV. A gay man, and with HIV disproportionately affecting this population, he figured he'd do the responsible thing. "I need to know," he said. "I'm gonna be a good gay guy and go get my HIV test." Much to his surprise, he tested positive, and he had to tell his family and the intimate partners he'd had to date. Kenealy has no idea where he got HIV. Already experiencing symptoms of mental illness, what followed was the catastrophic unraveling of his life. "The story's not good," Kenealy said. "The story is homelessness and prison and mental unwellness." It's a contrast from Kenealy's high school years in the 1990s, when he was a go-getter, high achiever and athlete at Low Ellen Park Secondary School, grabbing every opportunity that came his way. "Not quite the story you'd expect from the student council president," he says in an email. In a stable place in his life now, 44-year-old Kenealy has agreed to tell his story to Sudbury.com in honor of World AIDS Day, which is marked December 1st. "It was my ongoing horror." Following high school, Kenealy entered theater arts and drama studies at the University of Toronto, but earned poor marks, and returned home to Sudbury. He started dating someone, and lived with his boyfriend in an apartment downtown. It seemed like life was picking up again. "But then, as Kenealy puts it, I started losing time. Things started going south for me. I was convinced my boyfriend was a clone. I lost my housing. I lost my boyfriend. I ended up in jail. I tested positive for HIV, and then when I got out of jail, I was basically homeless and bounced between the Salvation Army, couches and rooming houses in the city. People tried to help, but there was a fundamental big problem that needed to be dealt with that was going unmanaged and unmonitored." Upon his HIV diagnosis, Kenealy freaked out and ran away to Toronto, a person in crisis seeking solace with old friends. But one thing led to another, and he ended up being charged with aggravated assault related to HIV non-disclosure. "It was just they thought something different was going on than they had in their mind, that I was a good time and that I was there for fun and what have you, and I wasn't entirely capable of having the discussion that was necessary at that point," Kenealy said. Also during that time period, Kenealy had interactions with the law after twice breaking into his grandmother's house. "I think I wanted a hot meal," he said. He ended up in jail. On top of his HIV diagnosis, Kenealy lives with schizophrenia. His specific diagnosis is schizoaffective disorder, bipolar type. He said he went 7 years from the time the first symptoms of his mental illness emerged when he was 23 until he received treatment when he was 30. It was actually thanks to a friend doing her residency at the old Sudbury General Hospital who had been on the yearbook committee with him in his Low Ellen days that he finally got a schizophrenia diagnosis at the age of 28. She was like, "Matthew, what the hell?" And I was like, "I'm lost in daydreams. I don't know why I was lucid enough to get that point across." She was like, "Oh, Matthew, oh, I know what's going on," and gave me my diagnosis, he said. People who saw what my life was like during my time being underhoused and unwell in Sudbury, witnessed horror, Kenealy said. "It was my ongoing horror." He said that he has gaps in his memory from the worst of his mental illness, not knowing what he was doing for months at a time. During his time in prison, he thought he was on a submarine, and that if he pressed the number 9 on the jail's phone system, it would release a torpedo, which made it difficult to call home to his parents. "Oh, my God, it was so weird, but I was so unwell that I was sheltered from how bad things had gotten," he said. Kenealy said his family did try to help, but found they could do nothing. "They felt helpless, I think," he told us. "Part of the problem was that I was fiercely independent. They would try to help and I wouldn't be making any sense." Matthew Kenealy as he looked in 2006, as a young man living on the streets of Sudbury. Image supplied. Moving to the big city. Seeing no path forward in Sudbury, in 2010, aged 30 years old, Kenealy bought a bus ticket and moved to Toronto. He had only the clothes on his back and a backpack. With no connections to social services, other than receiving ODSP, those first months in the big city were some of the darkest in his life. At least in Sudbury, even if he was homeless, he still felt he was in his own backyard. Not previously a drug user, Ken Ely befriended a drug dealer in Toronto and started using methamphetamine. "It was an ugly situation, and I'm glad it stopped," he said, reflecting on the current opioid and drug adulteration crisis. Street involved, in Toronto for 6 months, Ken Ely ended up at Seton House, the largest men's shelter in the country. It was a lucky stroke, as the shelter medical staff took him seriously and started him on meds for both schizophrenia and HIV. He also ceased drug use and has been sober for 14 years. Other than his time in jail, Ken Ely said he hadn't had any treatment for his HIV until he got to Seton House. "I was very lucky," he said. "I could have gotten pneumonia, and it would have been terrible for me." He said his high school friend working at Sudbury General Hospital did him a solid by giving him his schizophrenia diagnosis, as he was able to tell the doctors at Seton House. "While the treatment was aggressive, the schizophrenia meds are very effective," he said, "without which I would not be able to have this conversation with you." Social service workers from a local AIDS service agency found Ken Ely at the shelter and moved him into the community, first into a transitional housing program and later into a group home. He lived in that group home in Kensington Market for 6 years as he went through the process of coming off the street and balancing off on meds. "For like the first 18 months, I basically slept, and my meds kept increasing, because we had to get to a point where I was happy with them," he said. The housing provider, Fife House, finally moved him into a scattered sites unit located, ironically, on Sudbury Street. "I can't go that far from Sudbury, right?" he jokes. In that unit, Ken Ely still connects with a caseworker weekly. From the streets to university graduate. As soon as he had the mental wherewithal, Ken Ely's high achiever self re-emerged. He enrolled in school in 2015, first attending a general arts and science program at George Brown College, and then transferring into second year at the University of Toronto. Ken Ely graduated with an honors BA in sexual diversity studies this past June, and is now undertaking his MA in criminology and social justice from Toronto Metropolitan University. He earned high marks in his undergrad and even won the 2019 E.J. Pratt Medal in Poetry for his poem, George Street, about his time on the streets. We have attached his poem below. Graduating from university was, hands down, his proudest moment. "If you had asked me 10 or 15 years ago if this is where I'd be, I would have laughed at you," he said. But his academic success was shadowed by tragedy, as his boyfriend of 6 years, Zach, died in June 2023. The two met when Zach was in recovery, but he relapsed and was found dead in his apartment. "I miss him terribly," Ken Ely said. It took a system. Asked why he was able to get off the streets and get healthy when that seems impossible for so many, Ken Ely points to the levels of support he received, addressing his housing and acute health needs. He doesn't think that the involuntary treatment currently vaunted by politicians would have helped, as what he required was wraparound support. "It took a system," Ken Ely said. "It took a system where there were social workers embedded in the system, where there were links to social service workers and community organizations, where there were housing support structures and community organizations reported to housing. It took a lot of people. Countering hate and prejudice." On sabbatical due to his graduate studies, Ken Ely has worked in housing support and as a peer specialist with people who have HIV and are exiting homelessness. His ultimate goal is working for a community health center as part of a homelessness outreach program. "With the experience I have, I think I would be a very productive researcher when it comes to HIV and homelessness," Ken Ely said. He's also involved in HIV/AIDS activism, and is currently co-chair of the steering committee of the Toronto HIV/AIDS Network. This week is HIV Awareness Week, with World AIDS Day coming up December 1st. Marking the 20th anniversary of his HIV diagnosis this past spring, Keneally is one of 63,000 individuals in Canada currently living with HIV, 14% of whom are unaware of their status. Since the beginning of the epidemic, 88.4 million people worldwide have been infected with the HIV virus and about 42.3 million people have died of HIV. Keneally said he thinks HIV testing should be normalized, a regular blood test people get at their doctor's office. Through the miracles of modern medicine, Keneally's current HIV treatments are injections he receives every 2 months, although he points out his drug costs are pretty exorbitant. Receiving psychiatric treatment at Mount Sinai Hospital in a clinic for those with HIV, Keneally said he receives Gold Star care. I'm very fortunate, but that's not the reality of care for everyone around the world, he said. While there's more understanding of HIV/AIDS than there was in the past, given more robust medications to treat it, Keneally said there's still a lot of hate and stigma. For this reason, Keneally is glad to share his story, and hopes it serves to raise awareness. And after the ordeal of his earlier life, he's looking to the future. I was very lucky, he said. That's the truth. I met good people, and they did me a solid in the biggest way possible and got me my life back. I'm 44. I'm excited for what this next chapter brings. Heidi Ulrichsen is Sudbury, Com's assistant editor. She wants to thank her high school friend Matt Keneally for entrusting her to tell his story. George Street, I never agreed to sleep in a room with an old man who read and drank and went to jail and a strange man named Shao who cooked soft-shelled blue crabs with red claws in a rice cooker that was against fire codes, asbestos ceiling stained from when the men used to smoke inside, now to roam the halls like stagnant ghosts and drink sweet orange-colored drinks. I did not agree to anything. I was busy talking to the specters and the purple and gray feathered pigeons who told me stories of worry, was trying to find some way to prove my love to the superhero I believed ran the nuclear facility in Leslieville. He defended the city from a dragon who lived in a Bay Street tower, but I had been evicted by the blonde woman who owned the bar downstairs. I found myself wandering down George Street and into the largest men's shelter in the city, having stayed at the Anglican Church for a few nights first, my first few nights in the city. My t-shirt, a testament that I was way more fucked up than the rest of these souls. No one knew I believed that I had joined a seminary. There was a balcony with a metal fence blocking the view of the Grand Hotel neon signy. Thought this was how the upper class passed through life without anything, free to wander in imagination and ruminate on hate. A man in a wheelchair would sell cigarettes for 50 cents each. I remember that he would go as far as the sidewalk in front of the monastery to smoke crack with a man whom I called a sociopath to his face, who would drink himself into a deep lethargy then fall out of his chair watching television. People watched old movies on Channel 5 or 26. The doctor visited twice a week. She took interest in my quest. She had a solution, not a cure, but a solution to the problem that I didn't understand. I did not understand my life. It was dark. The solution was a shot in the arm every 2 weeks. I had been somewhere between confused and delusional for 10 years. Mom thought I was on drugs. She would call the police when I tried to visit. I was invited for Christmas, but they called a taxi when I started crying about the Great War, because I knew that it had never stopped. The dead were being paved into roads. They filled the graves and sewers and the mortuary that had been built by Diefenbaker under Young Street from King to Bloor. I fell in love with Steve, the squeegee on his belt and the dirty pants, red hair and a sexy pose when we looked at each other and were alone, even if everyone around us was complaining about the world. 0 milliseconds, greater than I talked to my demons and recited scripture. And he got drunk on cooking wine. Steve spit on people he didn't like. And I loved him. I wanted us to lock ourselves in the tower where the dragon lived and practice spells for the hero of this story, who worked at the nuclear power plant in Leslieville. I made a friend. She worked in the building. I made an enemy who worked in the building too. He was a complicated brown-haired boy who had graduated with honors and wore great jeans and a button-down shirt into the pit of filth. I'm sure he went home and took long showers. My friend mentioned me to another friend, and that friend came to visit twice. She gave me an Ottawa Senators t-shirt. And although the meds had stopped the panic, I thought I had joined the Senate and now worked for the Registrar General. My second friend decided to move me into the parish and away from the house of prayer and sacraments. I gathered my backpack, the leather jacket I had bought for fall, my new shirt, and quietly left. This gentleman of letters and mortuaries has stained my body in tattoos and scars and nicotine yellow teeth. I wish everyone would do the same and believe in God to such an incredible extent. I miss Steve very much. I hope he will not be cold this winter. Tilda by Matthew Keneally.